Well, hey, my friends, welcome back at it again at healthmasters.com with the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope the entire country's staying warm this morning. I had a buddy of mine who's doing lineman work. He got deployed out for a couple days. And it's icy. He's doing some stuff from Michigan. He has some guys up there working. I mean, it's cold. Y'all up in Michigan, y'all, be safe. I'm not even exaggerating. That's cold up there.
Well, I called American Airlines yesterday and basically had to make some changes on a flight. And they told me it was a 2.5 to 4 hour wait.
Oh,
they said, we'll call you back, which they never did, by the way.
Well, everything. I think the entire country, as far as on flights, has gotten pretty much shut down.
Well, it's the biggest shutdown for like 10 years, they said.
Well, you can't operate this. When it's negative 20 out, the runway's frozen over.
That one very, very wealthy attorney had hired basically a private jet to take her over to Europe, over to Paris, her and her family. And they were up, I believe, in Maine. And the runway was completely and totally just fogged up.
You can't land on an icy runway like that, can you? It's just like a car on ice.
Well, again, what happened, the doggone plane dipped its right wing when it took off and got the runway, flipped and rolled, everybody died.
Oh, gosh.
And, it's not a happy story. And here this woman was worth, hundreds of millions of dollars, supposedly. And, she was on a nice private jet. With her whole family.
Can't defy physics and temperature, man.
Well, the biggest problem that you have is when you take off at 160 knots in one of these big jets, you're looking ahead and you're outpacing your visibility because it's cloudy and it's foggy.
And icy.
Same thing happened in Bartow a few years. Guy took off with his family in it, going down to the Keys for some other thing he was doing, and tipped his right wing when he took off, which is very easy to do when you take off, especially with a full load of fuel.
Yeah.
And he caught the runway, rolled, that was it, everybody died. Be very careful if you're flying private right now because it's very dangerous in these conditions. It's dangerous enough. Remember last year when that one plane came off the runway up in Canada?
Yeah.
That passenger jet?
Flipped.
Yeah, flipped upside down. That happens on ice all the time.
Well, my personal preference, I would just recommend not flying anywhere in any commercial. I would just hold tight.
Or if you're going to fly out of Miami.
Go to Caribbean for the next couple days.
Well, no, just take your private jet, have it meet you in Miami. And, if you want to do a private jet, those things are insanely overpriced. But
you get dead legs, though, that aren't too bad sometimes when they're moving them around.
You can.
I follow a couple of those things online, but they're still not cheap. But if you get 10 or 12 people going on one of those big things, it really doesn't cost much more than anything commercial. It
costs this lady everything.
Yeah.
But you don't, that's why you want to have a pilot who knows what they're doing, because you don't want to take off and dip a wing. And the problem is when you're doing 175 miles an hour coming off the runway,
stuff happens fast.
It happens. Dude. Everything happens really fast on airplanes.
Well, we were at the Rolex 24 in Daytona, and we were on that back corner there coming around about 180, 190 on that back corner. Mm-hmm. And I forgot how fast those cars are when you're standing still in a corner, 50 feet away from them. They come by you, and they're blurry.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Germany. I got to drive a really neat little car over there. And I remember I was at 170 miles an hour on the Autobahn, legally. Don't send me letters. And I remember I came up into traffic.
Yeah.
And I had to get on the ceramic brakes.
Fast.
I had to get on the ceramic brakes hard. And I could not believe how long it took to slow down from that speed.
Yeah.
That's fast.
That's a lightweight car, not a plane.
but you think about it on an airplane, though. You're going that fast, and you're basically going to catch air, and you're going to take off, and you're going to be up so quick, you're not going to believe it. No. So if you make one fraction of a mistake, just a tiny, you just dip it a little bit, it's going to that wing will grab.
But hey, we're adding more pilots through DEI, because that way, diversity, equity, inclusion, you get to be a pilot even if you're dumb and stupid and can't pass tests because, well,
funny,
that's DEI.
Remember years ago, we were blessed. Somebody actually let us go on a private jet. They paid for it. It was great. And I remember I was talking to the guy when we were flying, and I asked him what they made, and he was saying, well, you can get pilots at all different prices as far as levels of experience. And I remember we were coming back into Winter Haven, and the front landing gear, the nose gear, had frozen shut. You could open it, but you couldn't steer with it. And he looked at me kind of funny, and I'm standing up there in a cockpit talking to him, and he goes, this is where you don't want a cheap pilot.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what are you going to do? He says, well, I can steer with the rudder. He said, but the reality is that I practiced this already multiple times in the simulator. Because that was a G-150. It was a Gulfstream. And apparently when you got the 40,000 feet for a few hours, like the front landing nose gear like to freeze up on you. So you couldn't steer it. So it was one of those things to be really, really careful if you're flying private. It's super. I remember my instructor who basically did my test ride with the, when I got my license, he told me, he said, be careful, especially when you're up in the mountains flying. He goes, people die up there all the time.
The mountains are dangerous.
Because of the updrafts. Oh, by the way, I saw this yesterday, and I thought it was really good. It's a thing on kids. And I've had somebody contact me. Now, they sent me an email. I read your emails. And by the way, I have been trying to return your emails. And again, my new email froze up on me, which I don't understand why this is happening. I had Ruben's work on it yesterday for almost an hour. But it's working again, but now it's frozen up again. So I'll take it back to Ruben's again. But, you know, I get your emails, but then I've responded to you. But a lot of times it doesn't go through. So don't think I'm ignoring you, because I'm not.
He'll get to them. I get to them. I'm backed up, too.
But here's what happens. A woman decides to, you know, take her vitamins. She gets pregnant. They have a super healthy pregnancy. The baby's born. And then about 2 weeks later, the doctor has to see him for the wellness check. According to the state of Florida, they require you to do that. Or you have to go to a midwife or somebody.
Right.
And then the doctor decides that it's time to start injecting him with vaccines.
In 2 weeks?
Two, 3 weeks.
I thought it started like a month.
No, they can do whatever they want.
That's right. And, I forget, the Academy of Pediatrics, they can do anything they want. Hence why they're in a RICO suit right now.
Well, you know, 6 months into it, the baby gets ear infections. Now, you've seen this hundreds
talked about this in detail yesterday. Okay?
And then they start having other problems. And then number five, the doctor then gives the baby antibiotics and Tylenol. Let's not forget the liver damage from Tylenol. And then the child has even more ear infections and illness. And then the doctor gives more antibiotics and more Tylenol because that's all they know to do. Okay. Then the child decides he wants to go ahead. The doctor decides he wants to put tubes in his ears. Yeah. I'm giving you a scenario here. And then the doctor gives him more antibiotics and more Tylenol. Okay. Then the child loses all digestive bacteria from all the antibiotics. Now they can't digest their food properly, and they're having all kinds of gut problems. Now they're in trouble. Then the doctor figures he got to have to give them more vaccines to make them healthier. The child gets even more sick. Now the child basically either develops ADHD or develops autism. You go, this shit doesn't really happen. Yeah, it does. Then the child now has food allergies from all the injections, and now the child has eczema.
And also remember this, too. I want to tie into this real quick. In my opinion, and the research I've been doing, one of the reasons why a lot of these food allergies are becoming so prevalent, because I hear this all the time now with young kids that parents are coming to, and almost invariably they're always vaccinated when they have these lists of food allergies. My opinion, when you start taking a child and you completely ruin their gut microbe with these antibiotics, they're having all these undigested proteins in the digestive system, all these different foods. The body has no idea how to even digest them because the entire digestive system is essentially almost like it's unfunctional. The body was designed very specifically by God Almighty to have specific gut microbe, to have, you know, probiotics in there that help out with digestion. I've talked about it in detail with the articles we have with the gut-brain interface and how they're connected. Not through nerves, but through probiotic systems. So when you wipe those out and you keep wiping those out, the baby is going to have significant problems long term.
That's why children with autism have severe gut microbe imbalance.
And I would bet, and I'm going to say this because I've heard this before, and I'm not going to be quoted on this. I'm not making any claims. But I think, in my opinion, from what I've seen, one of the very important things that a child that's been diagnosed with ADHD needs to be on is a high dose of the probiotic 100 billion or 350.
Well, you know, it's gotten so bad, a lot of parents out of desperation have started doing fecal transplants. And that's when you get to that point, you can't.
Horrible.
It's horrible. And, you know, so it's just a real big problem that people don't realize with these antibiotics. Well, then the doctor gives even more vaccines. Now the child has eczema. Then the child develops asthma and ADHD and autism if they don't already have it, or some type of learning disorder. Then the doctor prescribes either steroids or Ritalin and other psychiatric drugs for the autism. Then the mom thanks the doctor for helping her child.
Oh, don't forget the tonsillitis from the inflammation, from the immune response. Oh, we need to take the adenoids and tonsils out too, because they're inflamed all the time. Why are they inflamed all the time?
Body's immune response.
Body's immune response. They're there for a reason.
So here's a few tips for you when you go to the grocery store. If you see soy oil, put it back.
Yeah, that's a fact.
If you see canola oil, throw it back. If you see sunflower oil, put it back.
You say throw canola oil back.
It's that bad. But don't break it.
Don't break it.
If you see safflower oil, put it back. If you see cottonseed oil, put it back. If you've seen corn oil, run as fast as you can. It's going to have glyphosate in it. If you see vegetable oil, put it back. If you see vegetable oil, blend, run. If you see olive oil or coconut oil or avocado oil, buy it.
There you go. Now, what about peanut oil? Five Guys uses peanut oil. That's all they use. I'm not a I don't eat fries, but they use peanut oil there.
It's okay if you don't have peanut oil allergies.
It's got to be better than soybean oil, though.
Oh, it is. But the problem with peanuts, a lot of people have allergies to it because they were injected with peanut oil in the vaccines. So you gotta be really careful. I mean, you could go into shock.
If you have a peanut allergy, Five Guys is just not a place to go. With their bags of peanuts everywhere. Every time we go in, a hunter with you, he always grabs a big bowl of them, cranking them open.
I taught him how to do that.
Yeah, I've never had any issues with peanuts. Riding around any shots either. My kids don't need problems with any shots. Surprise on that. But also, too, switching back and covering this as far as with the ADHD. I have on these different kits here that we put together certain protocols, and one of the ones that really is important for kids is the back-to-school program that I've told you guys about before that's on here with the cod liver oil, and also, too, my mouse went dead on me this morning, so forgive me for scrolling on this iPad with this thing on here because I'm not used to using this. I actually dislike it very much so, and I like to use my mouse, and it's a paperweight right now on me, so I still give you guys a good show. But the kids back to school program is the one that has the cod liver oil and the ultimate multiple chewable in it. This is really important, not just for all kids, but if you have a child that's having some type of learning disability, cognitive problems, if focusing, the omega-3 fats and the multivitamin are really, really easy, quick fix in conjunction with cutting out the high fructose corn syrup, processed foods, and food coloring.
All those oils I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And then I would add, also throw in the probiotic, at least the probiotic DF. If you're on a budget with them and you want to do it, the probiotic DF is the cheapest. I don't want to say cheapest, but probably the best one as far as it's cost effective because it's still expensive to make. The probiotic 350 is really strong. That's the one I like the best, but that's expensive product manufacturer, man.
That's about $100 a box.
There's no margin on that product.
And it's no margin. It's worth every penny of it. We bring it in out of Belgium.
650 billion CFUs at packaging. But again, I tie back into when you start taking these kids at a young age and you start feeding them antibiotics like they're doggone Pez dispensers. Mm-hmm. I've watched the doctors do it every time. Antibiotics, antibiotics, antibiotics. I talk to parents. Well, kids on another antibiotic cycle, another antibiotic cycle. I'm like,
that's all they know how to do.
You've told me this like six times in the last year. Yeah, I know. The doctor keeps giving antibiotics. It ruins the entire digestive system. I can't stress that enough, and it starts causing all types of long-term health problems. I get it. Sometimes antibiotics are important, but look at why the child is needing to be put on antibiotics. Why is the child getting so sick on a regular basis? Why are they having chronic infections and chronic inflammatory markers? Look into that, and you'll find out why.
Well, we just covered it. And you got to remember the Kabbalah synagogue of Satan, the ones that run the country and run the medical society as far as at the highest levels. They're all part of this plan to destroy what we're doing. One of the reasons they've had massive immigration into the United States since in the last 40, 50 years, it was to destroy our ability as basically patriots in the United States to rise up and stand against this. I'm just going to be honest with you. They don't want us. What they don't want to have happen is they don't want another Third Reich here in America with a bunch of people that are they don't want that. They don't want that. They don't want us coming up and standing against what they're doing. They don't want any of that. So they're going to basically dilute our gene pool until they can create that. So nobody has the ability to fight against what they're doing to us. Number one, banish God from the heavens and Christianity from the earth. Allow no private, these are their goals, allow no private ownership of property or business. But Klaus Schwab said, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Abolish marriage, family, and home. Encourage promiscuity, homosexuality, adultery, and fornication. Number four, completely destroy through every thought of patriotism, national sovereignty, individualism, and private competitive enterprise. Number five, establish a one-world government through which the elite, the scum I call them, can rule the world. All other objectives are secondary to this one supreme purpose under Lucifer. Thought I'd mention that. Take all prayer and Bible instruction out of the schools and introduce pornography, vulgarity, and courses in sex. Remember, I had a friend of mine the other day ask me what happened in the United States. They no longer have any teaching in the schools about Christ. We have that in Germany. You don't have that here. I said that was taken out by basically a communist back in the 60s, and then abortion was made legal by another communist back in the 70s. Circulate vulgar pornographic literature, man. We see that all over the internet and pictures, and encourage the unrestricted sale and the general use of alcoholic beverages and drugs to weaken and corrupt the youth. Number 10, foment, precipitate, and finance large-scale wars to emasculate and bankrupt the nations and thereby force them into a one-world government. create Cloward and Piven strategies in which you basically fund all third world nation people coming into this country to destroy the United States through social welfare systems. They've done that now, too. Secretly infiltrate and control colleges, done that through the 1933 through the Frankfurt School. Universities, labor unions, political parties with communism, churches. They've done that already, by the way, many churches. Patriotic organizations and governments. These are direct quotes from their own writings, by the way. That's what they want. And you think to yourself, this is crazy, but this is the truth. And that's why on this show, we stand against that. And we want you to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we'll be part of the solution as long as we both are alive, as far as I'm concerned. And that's how I see it right now. And so when you guys listen to us and you support us and you basically, help us as far as getting your supplements from us, not only do we provide you the highest quality supplements in the world, it allows us to basically do what we need to do to try to get the message out that we get out. So thank you for that. Now, let's talk about that horrible shooting of that nurse in Minneapolis, which was basically, in my opinion, from what I've seen from the video, it looked like a doggone execution.
And I talked to my brother about it yesterday, and everybody's been covering it, and I don't want to keep beating around it, but, it reached a certain point in time where you start having to question yourself, because I talked about it yesterday and on the show briefly, and I've watched more footage of it, because I've tried to sit there, and, I always try to look at both sides of the narrative. And the issue that I've had with this situation is that you have, and I've noticed this for some odd reason, I've seen it, and this is not isolated, this has been numerous incidences, for some odd reason, DHS and ICE agents now that are involved in a lot of this, and not just Minneapolis, they love to just walk up to people that are standing on the sidewalk on the side of the road and straight mush them in the face and shove them on the ground. I've watched this on probably 20 different videos now, and I don't know why this is somehow becoming normal. They're saying, well, these guys are instigators. I've seen videos, and there's a video right here. There's people standing there on the side of the road, and ICE just runs up to them and straight football shoves them on the ground and then walks off. Doesn't even apprehend them or arrest them. I don't know why this is becoming normalized, and I get it. The tensions are really high. I get it. But when you start having armed federal agents that have deadly force, and they start having the ability to start walking around and assaulting people. Let's be clear on this. If you have an ICE agent that walks up to you and he straight shoves you on the ground and walks off, that's considered assault. If you flip that role and you have a person walk up to an ICE agent and he straight football shoves him and puts the ICE agent to the ground, you're going to jail for felony assault on a federal officer. Let's be clear. So why is it now this having this complete and total paradigm where it's like, well, this is okay for them to do it, but it's not okay for everybody else to stand there and record it? And then this video with Alex, I've watched like 10 different angles of it. This guy was carrying a firearm legally, had a concealed permit, was walking around recording it. Was he agitating certain things? He may have been. I don't see everything he did the entire day. I do know this, and I can say this very clearly. I've carried a firearm to protest and been peaceful multiple times. I'm not going to give any more descriptions on that, but I do handle myself accordingly when I'm carrying deadly force. I try to stay out of situations like that, but I have been armed multiple times in situations. You know what I'm talking about with that.
Well, it was the BLM, the protests here.
Well, the multiple other ones, too. I mean, it's situation that escalated, and I'm armed. So you need to carry yourself accordingly when you have deadly force as a civilian. That's the fact. I don't know how much this guy was instigating stuff, but I do know the final videos of it as far as when they find out he either has a firearm or they take him to the ground, whether or not what happened in that struggle, they witnessed the firearm, if he touched his firearm, if they saw the firearm with his shirt up. But there's five agents, and I'll do the video. There's a video right here. You guys watch this. You guys want to see me? There's multiple angles of it, and you can see here, and there's so many different versions of it. Let me use the sound.
The incident is raising many questions, including constitutional ones, over free speech and the right to bear arms. And a warning, some of the videos you're going to see here are graphic. On Saturday morning, federal officials say Preddy approached Border Patrol agents armed and violently resisted their attempts to disarm
him. I don't see any of that.
It's multiple NBC News.
They look violent to me.
Cell phone videos do not show Preddy holding a weapon during the altercation. State and city leaders say that they have, what they have seen, rather, does not match federal officials' accounts. Over the weekend, we saw...
I'm going to put that right as far as... In this video right here, because she didn't really get analysis of it, this guy is Preddy on the ground. These are all ICE agents. There's another angle, and I don't know if they showed this, because I had the footage last night. I lost it on my computer. There's another agent that comes up and starts punching him. Nobody can hear me. Nobody can hear. I have my mic up. This is him on the ground. There's five ICE agents. One agent comes over and starts punching him in the face from another angle. Then suddenly you see an agent pull a firearm from him. And then suddenly there's a guy on top of him, draws down and shoots him point blank. And then they step back and the agent dumps like seven or eight rounds into him.
They hit him seven or eight times?
Yes.
Was he wearing body armor?
None.
So it exploded him.
Oh, he's done. And he had no firearm on him when they continued to shoot him.
To really unpack this, and investigators may be able to get closer to the truth of the incident here and see if there is any reason to do a criminal.
He's not violently resisting. He's just trying to stand up.
Did not act within their training and violated Petri's civil rights by.
Yeah, and I mean, here once again, you got
a former.
Sorry, this is a horrible video. I had a way better video last night. This irritates me. All this crap they want to throw in here. I'll try to find another one, but you guys have seen it. But yeah, I mean, overall, you can see one of the agents has a firearm. They pull the firearm away from him before he's executed. And the issue you have with this now is people are saying, well, you know, he's at this protest. He was doing this. I don't really care what he was protesting. I really don't.
We have the right to.
You have the right in the United States to walk around and say, I don't agree with this. Even if he was wrong, and I don't agree with his ideology, what he was standing for, he had the right to walk around and record. I didn't see him one time draw a firearm in any footage. I didn't see him go up and hit or punch or assault any of the officers.
He even tried to defend himself.
Multiple times in videos, multiple times, he's standing there with a camera holding his phone, and ICE agents walk up to him and straight bear shove him, football shove him back when he's standing on the sidewalk. Just walk up to him and shove him. And it appears to me, and I've told you guys this already, that this is being done on both sides right now to cause as much dissension, as much violence, as much confusion as possible. These ICE agents, in a lot of cases, are acting completely out of pocket. When did ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, suddenly become riot control? I'm going to ask that question. Why is it now all the videos I've seen are them walking up and down the sidewalks in formation with pepper guns and stun guns and flashbangs and deploying them on everybody that's standing on the sidewalk that are carrying signs? I've seen that now repeatedly. ICE is there to execute a search warrant or an arrest warrant for an illegal immigrant. That's it. They're not there to be law enforcement capacity or riot control like the National Guard's designed to do. Yet they're walking around now, just walking down the street, blasting pepper bullets at everybody.
In full kit.
If they have a warrant, go execute it. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., go issue it. You got a violent offender, you got a pedophile, you got a criminal. They know where he's at. Go issue the warrant. Go arrest him. Be done with it. But just walking around now like they're Gestapo, shooting everybody with pepper balls and basically throwing flashbangs at everybody that are walking up and down the street protesting, this is starting to become more like ICE has been turned into this kind of tyrannical regime that is completely above the law.
Well, Walsh and Trump are talking now, and Walsh is begging Trump to get these guys out before the Civil War starts.
Well, this is what I think they're fomenting. They're doing this intentionally.
Well, anyhow, but Kristi Noem is giving a humiliating new role by Trump after summit with the ICE maiden over deadly Minnesota meltdown. Donald Trump refined and reined in Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. After, remember, you know, it's so funny that dog on South Park did that video of Kristi Noem shooting all the dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, just shooting everything. And now all of a sudden we're just shooting people here. You know, unbelievable. And he said, Susie Wiles following another deadly, including involving an immigration agent, the internal scrutiny of Noem intensified after the fatal shooting of a 37-year-old ICU nurse in Minneapolis on Saturday, an incident she characterized as an act of domestic terror. It didn't look like that to me, putting her at odds with Trump. And Trump has said, I hate these shootings. The president then grilled Noem over her handling initial response to the shooting during their late-night meeting, reports say. Noem's advisor basically was at her side at the Oval Office summit. By the end of the night, Noem was ordered to shift her focus away from the interior immigration enforcement operations and instead concentrating on securing the southern border. In other words, she got slapped hard. Like Noem's longtime rival, border czar Tom Homan was ordered by Trump to take over the Minnesota crackdown. Despite the furor, Noem is expected to keep her job for now. Noem's law enforcement ally on the ground, Border Control Commander Gregory Bovino, was also withdrawn, along with scores of his agents. Initially, Noem and Lewandowski elevated Bovino to oversee high-profile immigration raids in U.S. urban centers such as the Los Angeles, Chicago, and most recently Minnesota's. The decision stirred internal anger among immigration agents. Of course, they're mad now because they're actually being chastised for what happened. It aligned with Immigration and Customs Enforcement because those operations traditionally fell under the jurisdiction, not border controls.
There you go.
It's just, you know, Bovino was sent packing to California Monday night as Homan prepared to take the ground operations in Minneapolis. And, you know, you say, well, Trump shouldn't have done this. Yeah, Trump should have done this. He should have done this a long time ago. You don't need this type of escalation in Minneapolis. You don't need this. Minneapolis has got a lot of liberals. I mean, it's crazy up there.
Sanctuary cities, they need to be cleaned out on certain points, but they need to be done strategically. There's no strategy with what's happening here. There's not. This is a free-for-all. You're bringing in more federal agents in areas that is already a hot spot. There's already tensions, and you're coming in and basically telling them, the gloves are off. Do what you want. Handle it how you want. Hit anybody you want. Shoot anybody you want. And because here's that one of the better videos I found on it here. This is what I'll show you. You can watch this.
Freddie's lower back and appears to withdraw something. The same federal agent then steps away with what appears to be a gun. In the same split second, another agent draws a weapon from his hip. A shot is fired. Three more shots are heard as Preddy falls from his knees to the ground. It is unclear which agent shoots. As the agents start moving away from Preddy, six more shots are heard.
Gosh,
the federal
awesome.
Agents
nice
all move away from Preddy's body on the ground and do not approach him for several seconds. Minneapolis police were alerted to the shooting at 9:03 a.m., according to the city's police chief, Brian O'Hara.
Now, I got to address this on a timeline. This was 9:03 a.m. He had every right to be walking around, even as a non-protester, and be observing what was happening. It's 9 a.m., guys. It's first thing in the morning. If this shooting happened at 4 a.m., I'd be like, why was he out there? Let's be real. Why are you out there getting involved in this at 4 a.m. in the middle of some type of rain? 9 a.m., 9:03, boys and girls, that's commute time. That's when people are walking to work. That's when people are driving to work. That's when people are opening their businesses. That's when people are engaging in commerce at 9:03 a.m. So it wasn't like he was out there at 4 a.m. They're like, dude, why are you out here with a pistol at 4 a.m. while we're doing basically, you know, a warrant in the middle of the night? So, again, I'm not going to keep going on this, but this okay. I think it reached a point now where everybody needs to scale
okay.
this back.
Let me tell you a story. Years ago, many years ago, I was at a movie with Sharon, with your mom.
Yep.
Okay? And we had a guy who was drunk in the movie theater. He brought his own liquor with him. And that's back when nobody's in the movies. We were pretty much by ourselves in the theater with him.
It was the good times.
All the good old days. And he was basically, they had brought a bottle with him, and they were just boozing it up, him and his girlfriend or whoever he was with. And I remember, I said something to Sharon, not about him, but something in general. He came over and just started screaming at me. I'm carrying deadly force. I've got a .45 on me. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm in a situation here which is precarious. I mean, I can reach for my gun. And this guy's hovering over me, screaming. He's drunk. I don't want to escalate this because I'm carrying deadly force.
Yeah, man, this already happened in Tampa.
Okay, now I was. Remember, this already happened in Tampa.
Guy killed a guy in the movie theater.
So I got up. He went back to his seat. I looked at Sharon, I said, I'll be right back. I walked out of the hallway and I called 911. Now, why would I do that? Because I knew that movie was going to be over with, and I knew that there was going to be a confrontation either in the hallway or in the parking lot with this guy. He was that angry.
And speaking of behavioral patterns, you know the longer he's in that film, the longer he's drinking, which means he's going to be more liquored up by the time the movie's over with.
And so what happens, the cops show up like, I mean, literally, they were standing outside apparently. They showed up like in 30 seconds. I think they were posted outside.
They do a lot of times.
And the guy walks in, he pulls the guy out of the theater. And the guy's, you know, making all these excuses for how he was acting and all this other kind of stuff. And then the cop looks at me and says, are you carrying a weapon? I said, yeah, I've got a .45 Kimber. I said, it's loaded. The hammer's back. It's fully chambered. And he goes, oh. So he says, can I see your concealed weapons permit? I said, yes. So I gave him my concealed weapons permit. I gave him my driver's license. Now, remember, the guy who's drunk sees this. And then the cop asked me to show him the gun.
So the officer wanted to see
it. And so I pulled it slightly out of my pocket, put it back in. He says, okay, fine. He said, leave it there. I said, okay. And all of a sudden, now the guy who's drunk, he has a complete attitude change.
Yeah.
In other words, he almost got shot. He knows he almost got shot. But I didn't want to shoot anybody. I don't want to be involved in any of that. Because when you're carrying deadly force, you got to be really careful. You got to be careful not to brandish a weapon. You got to be careful not to let someone see that you have a weapon on you. You just got to be, you got to calm your butt down.
Yeah.
Now, somehow they've disarmed him. He may have said something. I don't know. He didn't have, and they had no right to do what they did to him, period. We see the video. But the point is, I'm warning you, if you're carrying deadly force, it is best to step away and not engage like this. Because they're going to say, we had a he had a weapon on him. He was reached for his pocket. We thought he had another weapon. Well, that's all they've got to say. And they're going to be,
that's what's going to happen. When they're going to, because you couldn't see while they're, with their dog piled on top of him.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really see what he's doing because there's five agents standing on top of him, kicking him. Which means all they have to do is they all say, he grabbed his weapon, right? Yeah, he grabbed his weapon.
He's going for another weapon.
Done. That's it. Because now he reached for deadly force. They disarmed him. Or basically, they
and he was reaching for another weapon. So if you go to one of these protests, no matter whose side you're on, just be careful and realize that you're in a situation where you could die, especially nowadays. And it's just part of it. In fact,
well, you know, and I'm going to address that really quick as well. And you know this because of the incident that happened that one time over that easement dispute.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody's been around me whenever I'm carrying in a situation like that, I very rarely say anything to anyone. You'll know if you see me, I'm extremely quiet. I observe everything. I don't engage with anybody. I don't even care what people say to me. I just keep my mouth shut. Here's why. I'm not going to intentionally do anything to escalate a situation. I'm just standing there observing. I'm not saying, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not engaging you. I'm just sitting there observing. You've got to show restraint if you're carrying a firearm.
You've got deadly force.
This guy, I'm not picking on anybody on both sides, but the situations are so tense up there. If he wanted to be carrying, which he legally could do, and he wanted to observe, he should have been standing, recording, stepping back, staying away from the confrontation as much as possible. And again, not justifying their behavior or his, but in situations, you have to be able to show restraint, period.
Or you don't need to be carrying. That's right.
Flat out. You've got to show restraint. ICE, on the other hand, too, they need to have some restraint. This behavior that they've been given now, and the problem is they're emboldened because they've basically been given Gestapo-like power. Because the multiple agents, DHS, come out now. They've said, and then you had the FBI director come out, Cash comes out yesterday, and he goes, it's completely illegal to carry a firearm to any protest. Cannot carry a firearm to a protest. Multiple people that are scholars in law said that is completely and totally inaccurate. You can lawfully carry a firearm to any protest. Look at the Second Amendment protests you've seen all over the country over the years where people open carry rifles to protest. Imagine that. Nobody gets shot. People behave. You have the right to carry. You have the right to protest.
But check your state laws.
Check your state laws and act accordingly. That's what I'm leaving with that.
Well, here's another interesting article, and it says World Domination Plan. Then they go on to say this is a very, very important because the world is being destroyed by design. You know, and what is really interesting, it says, when you do your own research, you'll find that the origin of this plan was discredited and alleged creators have nothing to do with it, but it was actually the key evidence. And then it goes into something that I didn't realize. It was Alan Dulles, the man who raised money from U.S. industrialists like Henry Ford to fund Adolf Hitler, his Nazi party, and the war. The man who later became the director of the CIA during Kennedy and the head of the Warren Commission that investigated the Kennedy assassination. Why would anybody believe a man with such questionable character? There are several things that have been written, and they're saying that they're conspiracies theory now. But they have, you know, this group of people that have a massive overrepresentation in media, politics, banking, and world affairs. How did such a small community get to dominate all the centers of power and information? You know, why can Israel ignore UN resolutions, international law, and commit genocide in Gaza to standing ovations of the U.S. Congress? Why is Israel acting like it is above the law, seemingly without any fear of consequences, like they did with the USS Liberty? You know, if you read some of these domination plans, it says our power will become more invincible than any other because it will remain invisible until the moment when it has gained such strength that no cunning can no longer undermine it. We shall absolutely control the media so that not a single announcement will ever reach the public without our control. In this way, we shall have a sure triumph over our opponents, for without the media, they are helpless because they can't tell anybody what's going on. We will distract the brainless heads with vain conceptions, fantastic theories, rotten amusement, games, and filthy passions so that they will be unable to use what intellect they have left. They will never suspect that they have been staged, managed by us. Read the book, Pawns in the Game, by William Guy Carr. We shall establish huge monopolies so that all will go to ruin when the political smash comes. We must at all costs deprive them of their lands. We must lower wages and raise the price of all necessities of life. Went to Jared Deli's the other night, $20 for a little ice cream. $20. I refuse to pay it. We shall throw onto the streets whole mobs of workers simultaneously all over the world. This is the labor unions, who will rush to loot property, delight to shed blood, which they don't do that. Other ones have done that now. In our government, besides ourselves, there must be only the mass of enslaved people, a few billionaires devoted entirely to us. We see that with Jeff Bezos and the rest of these gangs.
Yep.
Police and soldiers. To this, we must create chaos and hostilities, and we must use all deceit, treachery, and falseness possible. Our greatest weapon is the media.
There you go. We saw this as far as this weekend.
That's why I'm covering this.
Yeah.
We shall establish one thing over all of the earth, one king over all the earth. This will be Lucifer, who will come off the third temple and come out and say he is God, who will annihilate all causes of discord, such as borders, nationalities, religion, state, debts, etc., and get peace and quiet, which cannot be secured in any other way. To attain our ends, we must foment trouble in all countries, utterly exhaust all of humanity with hatred, struggle, envies, torture, starvation, and diseases, so that the people will be forced to take refuge in our complete sovereignty, including vaccinations. I'm adding that in here. Our MasterCard has been and shall be the destruction of all privileges on the ruins on which we set up our absolute autocracy. Wow. Think about that for a second. Austin, you see this stuff happening in Minnesota. You see this stuff happening all over the world. You see what they've done in Gaza. You see the group of people that are talking. They're talking about completely control the media in Hollywood. Then you look at all the perversion, all the filth that you see on Netflix and everything else all the time. And you step back and you go, what the heck is going on? And then you realize God said this in Genesis. You know, every thought of every man was evil all the time, and God himself had to step in because they had broken the rules of engagement and basically flooded the entire planet and killed everything that was not pure DNA. He already did it once. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, in which everybody, if you go back to the Old Testament, everybody will be angry and mad all the time, and evil will prevail, and they're going to do that through a hive mind. Why do you think they're doing Neuralink? Why do you think they have AI data centers all over the place? This is another resurgence of the pyramids to create the energy field around the planet to control everybody's thoughts and minds so that you will not have the ability to do anything on your own without permission, including going to a rally and talking without yourself getting shot for
walking around
with
a camera.
Or with a camera. You don't have the right to do that, peasant. Don't you know that? Or if you do what you remember, the template on this was January the 6th.
Yep.
They arrested over 1,000 people and put a bunch of them in prison for 4 and 5 years. Some of them got, like Stuart Rhodes, 20 years in prison, and they were going to sit in there rot until Trump came in and pardoned them. My question is this, and it's the same question I asked 5 years ago. Why didn't Trump pardon him? He had 21 days before he got out of office. He could pardon everybody with January the 6th before he left office, which is what he should have done.
January 6th was the precedent.
That's right.
It set a lot of precedent legally. You ask anybody that's in law enforcement.
They wanted the Patriots to come up and show who they were.
Anybody that's an attorney, they're very clear on the laws with that, is that you had people that literally weren't even breaking laws in some cases that were walking around on D.C. soil that we pay for and we subsidize and we maintenance. Always remember that. That's a government by the people. We have a right to peacefully protest if we want to go somewhere. When you start having the rules for thee but not for me, I get to do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can act however I want. But the people I represent, the peasants, they can't do anything, say anything, or basically protest anything that I do because I am the overall God. That's how they think they start believing in some of these governments when it goes full communistic. And a republic, it doesn't work that way. Everybody is equal. That's the problem when you start having situations like this occur and start escalating. And the one reason why a lot of this starts to happen is because people don't want to stay educated and learn, adapt, think, and grow and have base, essentially a base that they have everything off of. They don't have any principles. Like Dad just said a second ago, that's how they subjugate the entire population. You dumb them down. You make them confused. You keep so much theater cycling around them that they can never focus on one definitive goal. They're so sprawled out trying to figure out where to go, what to think, how to do this. And then you throw in all the neurotoxins and the vaccines and the ultra-processed foods
and
the high-tops corn syrup and the soils. And then everybody goes, I don't know why I feel so crappy. I'm so inflamed. I got brain fog. Well, guys, everybody understands this. If you don't feel good, if you don't have any energy, if you're not functioning good, you're not going to want to do much of anything productive. You're not. Everybody's been sick before. You've had the flu or you've been down. You want to sleep. You lay on the couch and sleep. I feel horrible. Leave me alone. Let me get better. That's why I tell everybody you got to keep your immune system strong with keeping the proper supplements like the vitamin C, the D3, the zinc. Keeping your body strong and resilient is key to understanding all of this. It all goes back to the body because that's the one thing, no matter what, you have the ability to control is what you think about, what you put in your body, and how you respond and how you react. Period. There's an article here that I was talking about with the kids. I bring this up all the time. It says energy drinks now are posing an unbelievably serious health risk for children at a critical stage of brain and body development. No duh. Many products deliver near adult level caffeine in a single can, yet US and UK regulators allow the drinks to be sold with minimal oversight and virtually no warnings. Today, nearly one third of UK children consume energy drinks at least weekly, while in the US, now the second most commonly used dietary supplement, 30% of high schoolers use energy drinks on a daily basis. 30%. Now, here's the problem. Most of these drinks, they say adults, adults don't need to drink more than 400 milligrams a day. Adults.
Caffeine.
You have 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. Some of these drinks are 200 and 300 for one can, and they're drinking 3, 4, 5, 6 of these a day. I remember I used to have a detail that used to work for me, and he lived on Monsters. And I kept telling him, I said, you're out in the sun all day. You need to stop drinking these things and start drinking some distilled water and taking minerals and supplements. Wouldn't listen. And I'm having severe kidney stones. Got rid of them, drank water, went back on the energy drinks. Severe kidney stones again. Had to go and have surgery on them. It got so bad. He would drink 5 and 6 Monsters a day, 200 1,200 milligrams of caffeine a day, plus all the crap they put in it with all the calcium and everything to neutralize the acidity of them. Right here says the health consequences are now impossible to dismiss. Research consistently links energy drink usage to poor sleep, impaired academic performance, dental erosion, severe anxiety, ADD-type symptoms, insulin resistance, depression, suicide risk, higher rates of smoking, alcohol use, binge drinking, and risk-taking behavior. Government remains weak, even though the industry valued at $79 billion a year in 2024. That is almost a $100 billion a year industry.
Well, you know, the reason it's so high is that people feel so bad.
That's exactly what I was going to go to.
No, that's the bottom line.
They don't have enough B vitamins. Well, they're eating crap food.
Well, no, it's like this. Let's say, for instance, I'm going to be Secretariat now. I'm going to be the horse that won the Triple Crown back in the 70s. And I'm going to be getting ready to go run the Preakness or the Belmont or whatever, the Kentucky Derby. And all of a sudden, about a week before I run this big race, they take me out back and they give me a bunch of drugs and drinks and
bunch of beer and cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be like, oh, well, I don't feel good. I can't do. And so my athletic performance and my prowess on the racetrack won't be there. It simply won't be there. I won't have the ability to run. I'm going to feel like taking a nap if I don't feel like throwing up. And you're going to be like, what's wrong with this horse? Well, we gave him a bunch of cheeseburgers last night. He drank about 12 energy drinks. No wonder he's sick.
Yeah.
I know people who own racehorses, and you talk about a clean diet. You ain't seen clean until you see a racehorse diet. I mean, it is exactly what they need all of the time. They're always monitored. Their health is monitored, and they would never consider putting them on a lousy diet. Same thing. You're Muhammad Ali. You're George Foreman. You're going to go fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. You don't go get drunk the night before.
You do. You don't go to McDonald's.
Yeah, you don't go eat a bunch of junk. You don't go hang out with a bunch of people that are sick with the flu. You don't do all that. You do everything you possibly can weeks before the event not to basically have to scratch your own participation. You don't do all that because if you do, you're not going to be able to fight at your best. Well, the same thing is true with Patriots, isn't it? We lay on the couch all day. We basically have an IV of, fluoride going into our arm. We're drinking a bunch of high fructose corn syrup. And we're watching stuff like this, as we fall asleep,
and then we
pass out on the couch. We wake up drooling on each other, and you go, I know what I'd do. If I was in that situation, I'd hike 50 miles and I'd get there. No, you won't. You can't get off the couch. So you have to, as a patriot, as a conscientious consumer, realize that what you're doing is going to directly affect your health.
That's exactly right. That's why we put this product together. I'm being honest with you on that. This is the main thing because I like mild stimulants. I run good off of them. That's why I have the attention factor. We had the purple sticks. The problem is when I was younger, I used to use a large amounts of pre-workouts and energy drinks in my early 20s, especially when I was for ICF builders, for I knew any better. And I could never figure out how to dial it in because I did this all day. Boom, boom, Even when I was in construction, I drank Red Bull all the time. And I was like, I drink Red Bull, I feel great, crash out after an hour, drink another one. I was on that yo-yo, and I was like, this doesn't work. I feel crap, good, bad, good, bad. We put this together because it actually feeds your body real nutrients, methylated B vitamins, green tea caffeine that's naturally derived. One of the biggest things I keep telling everybody with these stupid energy drinks, 99% of them, all the ingredient raws they get are from China. I've seen the sheets
synthetic.
On them. They're all synthetic. Synthetic B12, synthetic caffeine, synthetic chemicals they put in them, and they're toxic as crap. They cause massive inflammation.
And they put aspartame in them. They put they put sucralose
in them. When you don't want the sugar in them, they put basically sucralose or aspartame in them.
Yeah, the other day I was at Sam's walking around. They had an energy drink. Yeah. Like a protein drink. I thought, okay, this looks interesting. I'm looking at it. Sucralose.
Yeah.
And I looked at him. I said, and I looked at the guy doing it. I said, you know, this is a, you know, neurotoxin, right? This is basically a pesticide. This is like going to destroy kidney function. He goes, well, I didn't know that. And I'm like, well, glad you're out here pushing it. He looked at me kind of funny. I should probably should have backed off him a little bit, but I didn't. I said, this is a bad product. I said, you got, and see, I had a friend of mine, has a mega church, 40,000 members, like all these different campuses. And I was listening to him preach one day. Did a good job. And all of a sudden, he's talking. And he's slurring real bad. Well, I come to find out he's been hammering aspartame in the energy drinks before he goes on the platform. And I called him up. And I said, Pastor, I said, you're slurring your words really bad. And he goes, well, I've been drinking a lot of those aspartame drinks, you know, to get my energy up. And I said,
I think they were Red Bull Zeros, from what I was thinking.
Yeah, right.
This is Red Bull, but with sucralose or aspartame.
And I told him, I said, you know, aspartame's been linked to all kinds of brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degeneration. I said, your dad died of cancer. I said, this is not a good look for you, bud. I said, he was in his 50s when he died. I said, you don't need, from a genetic standpoint, to allow your genes to express themselves, you know, epigenetically. I said, you don't need putting chemicals in your body that cause cancer. And he said, what can I do? I said, use the purple sticks. I sent him a couple boxes of purple sticks.
So people ask, if you're using high amounts of energy drinks or stuff like that, what can I do to change my difference? This is a great breakdown. I'll put this on the website as well. Here, it says awareness grows. Many need practical ways to reduce intake. Because I'll tell you right now, and you know this as well, you're on high amounts of coffee, high amounts of energy drinks, you come off of them, you will detox. If you're on a gram of caffeine a day from energy drinks and you cut them out cold turkey, you are going to feel like crap.
That's 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah, you're going to feel horrible. Been there, done that. How do you taper off? First thing, hydration first. Glass of water upon waking, before meals, before and after physical activity supports steady energy and cognitive clarity. I've said this before. Half your body weight in fluid ounces. You weigh 200 pounds, 100 ounces of water a day. Period. Done. Nourish with protein and
purified water.
Yes.
No chlorine, no fluoride.
Yeah, got to add on that. It says foods like real live yogurt, nuts, eggs, basic ground beef, good sustainable fuel that feeds your body. That's important. Natural boosters, beet juice, lightly brewed green tea or ginseng and other natural lipters. That's what we put in here.
Purple stuff.
That's why we put the green tea extract in here with the acai.
Without
with
coffee.
Right. Support with micronutrients. Right here. Put this on camera 4. Magnesium, B vitamins, other minerals, combat fatigue, consider a nutrient assistant for tiredness.
Nutritional assessment if you're tired. So yeah.
Move regularly, short walks in nature, stretching or exercise where serotonin and endorphins improve food focus and mood. Taper gradually, cut back slowly to avoid withdrawal and retrain the body into natural alertness. Increase water intake. Water is crucial for delivering oxygen and nutrients, regulating body temperature, and removing waste. That's really important.
You know, when I came off, when I was in college, I came out, well, after college, I was drinking a lot of coffee. I worked for a company in Tallahassee that sold coffee accounts. And I remember I had my own coffee maker, and I got really addicted to it. I was drinking 18 cups a day. And I was pushing myself. Finally, I came down with pericarditis after I had my teeth cleaned. I told you guys about that, but I couldn't recover. I had to wean myself off. I went from 18 to 17 to 16 to 15. I took a cup a day off. It took me almost a month to come off the coffee. Then I was down to 3/4 of a cup, half a cup. And then when I came off of it completely, I still had the caffeine withdrawal headaches because caffeine causes vasoconstriction of the arterioles that feed the brain. And when you don't have the coffee and caffeine, which causes those blood vessels expand, causing cranial pressure, giving you this god-awful caffeine headache. And I drank a lot of water. And I tell you what, I felt great. But back then, I didn't have purple sticks, so I would have just substituted and basically reduced my caffeine intake. You know, I may have 3 or 4 purple sticks a day. I do, you know, most of the time. And the reality for that is I like the way it makes me feel, and I don't have that crash like Austin was talking about with coffee. It was constantly up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then you get the elevated cortisol, which you don't get with this. And that elevated cortisol messes up your sleep patterns. And you get real irritable and edgy all the time. And quite frankly, like with Austin and I, you know, we're both type A personalities. You don't want to be around us when we're irritable and edgy. It's not a good look for either of us, because, you know, when we get hypoglycemic or whatever, if we get too much caffeine, we get edgy. It's not a good place to go. So I try not to do that. I try to avoid those types of things. That's why I try to avoid coffee to the best of my ability. But here's another article. Alcohol use has now been linked to higher risk of colorectal cancer. You know, I don't know what to say. Long-term alcohol use may be linked to higher risks of colorectal cancer. This is published in the journal Cancer. Research has found that those with heavy lifetime alcohol consumption have up to a 91%, Austin, 91% higher risk of developing colorectal cancer compared with those very little. That risk significantly increased with consistent heavy consumption, whereas those who quit drinking may have demonstrated decreased risk of pancreatic cancer. The longer someone drinks, the longer their colon and rectum are exposed to damage and impaired repair, both major mechanisms of cancer. It says the study followed more than 88,000 adults with no prior history of cancer. Participants reported their alcohol use beginning in early adulthood and were followed for nearly a decade to track their cancer outcomes. Massive increases in cancer, and it also increases the risk of breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, and osteoporosis. Alcohol is not a good product. If you want to have an occasional beer, a glass of wine, or whatever, unless you're an alcoholic, it's okay occasionally. But if you're sober right now and you're basically off, you know, you've cleaned up, don't start drinking any amounts of alcohol in any amount of moderation. Stay away from it. Keep it out of your house. And if you have a spouse or a wife or a girlfriend or somebody else who wants to drink around you, ask them not to. If they care about you, if they really love you, they will. They'll stop. I had a friend of mine that I knew. She basically was married, and her husband had been an alcoholic. Well, she wouldn't stop drinking wine with every meal. After 7 years, he started drinking wine with her. Ended up having a doggone liver transplant and died. Now, is it her fault or his fault? Well, she should have been more respectful of him and not done the alcohol, and he should have been more clear with her about why he didn't drink alcohol. But the reality is, alcohol is never going to give you a good outcome, and you're never going to say, hey, you know, I was doing, you know, awful, and then I started drinking, and my life got better. It doesn't work that way.
If you are occasionally going to drink for something, make sure you're taking the Detox Made Simple kit. The reason why I tell you guys that is because you've got to give your body the raw nutrients to detoxify properly.
You know, I was talking to Michael Barrett last night. He's one of our producers. He does a great job of marketing guy. He does a phenomenal job with our websites. And he told me, he says, the difference with your show and almost every other show out there is this. Most shows give you really negative information about how bad the world is with no solution set. He goes, the reason that you guys are so big and your show is so large and you have such a loyal audience is because you produce a really high-quality product and you give people solutions. Plus, you always talk about the positive things. You always talk about the good ways of doing things. See, you get your dose of Scripture from us every day because we want you to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Most shows don't give you that kind of hope. We always want to give you that hope because we bring you news like this, but we want you to know that, you know, that we're in covenant with the Most High God through a blood covenant with Jesus Christ, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we want you to know that you keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And because we're able to do that and give you hope and solutions and the truth, it gives you the ability to realize that, you know, this is not a hopeless situation that we're in, that, you know, we're here passing through, and we have all of eternity to be with the Most High God and Jesus. And that's what the most important thing is here, is our show gives you hope. And you guys send us emails, you send me texts, you say, wow, we missed the show today. Why weren't you on? Why weren't you on with Austin yesterday? All this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, hey, look, we every once in a while have to take a day off. Every once in a while, we got to take some breaks.
Well, and what we're going to do is we're going to be restructuring some stuff with the shows in the near future to make sure you guys are getting your daily information, your updates every mm-hmm. single day. We're getting the shows, but we're going to be moving some stuff around with the timelines on it, and also, too, bringing different types of articles, because here's the problem that I've run into now. We've done almost 3,000 episodes, 3,000 for you guys, for free, never charged anything. The problem is a lot of those episodes have an enormous amount of information in them. A lot of it's health information. A lot of it's built up. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some time to start bringing some of those health articles and topics that a lot of people haven't had and bringing them together in certain types of archive clips and shorts and shortened videos and be able to get information out to you guys. Because quite frankly, there's so much content that we've produced. We've got to start consolidating it because I'm not going to do this for another 20 years and never play old shows or have any old content ever used again. Because quite frankly, we are the only show that I know of in existence that does live every day. The reason why people don't do this all the time is because you run out of content, which we don't. We still have topics we bring about, but we're going to start consolidating and bringing you guys some more updated information and make it easier and easier and easier to consolidate.
We've done, as of today, we've done 2,735 episodes.
There you go.
Over the past 10 years. I mean, we brought you a lot of stuff, and we're going to continue to bring you live shows. That's not going to ever stop. I promise you that.
Well, that we were not going to do live all the time.
But we may occasionally throw a tape in there because we have to. There's so much content that we've covered on these green shows that it is so important that you hear the information as a primer.
Exactly right.
That we have to make sure that we keep you up to speed on what we're doing.
And also, too, just want to say this for you guys. Occasionally, we need a break, too.
Just saying.
After 11 years.
We had one guy, he got upset. He goes, why weren't you on Tuesday? And we're like, we took a break.
We have other things we have to do all the time.
But we love being here.
I do. I enjoy it.
And we love your loyalty. And we're going to continue to bring you the good news through Christ the days of our life. But we also realize that, you know, and that's why if you watch the shows that we run every once in a while on a rerun, these are primers. They bring you up to speed as to where we are. We tell you why the world is the way the world is, according to what the Bible says. And we want you to have that information from you without having to dig back through the archives. That's why we pick certain shows as reruns. I had a guy contact me last night. He goes, well, you did a show, you know, I think January 13th, and you guys were talking about the pyramids and all the rest. He goes, that needs to be something you put back into the cycle.
Yeah,
start playing
exactly.
That again. So I contacted Todd. I said, change the title of that, make that a green show.
Yeah.
He was so blessed by that show. I think it was January the 13th. I said, we'll make sure we keep that one up. But, you know, but the reality is we're doing the best we possibly can every single day of our lives to do this for you. So
I covered this yesterday on the show. And I'm going to do some more research on it now because this was funny yesterday. Basically, Pfizer CEO and all the guys that are the vaccine manufacturers now, they're having a conniption fit. Albert Bourla, because their stocks are shutting down. They're dropping because their sales, they said their vaccine sales are sliding rapidly now because everybody's coming to the pediatrician office going, no, we're going to pass right now. Pediatrician go, what do you mean? What do you mean? This is a shot schedule. You've got to do it. No. I don't.
Especially in Florida.
Especially in a lot of states now. Mm-hmm. So, guys, it's working. You're getting the truth out there. Please forward these shows. I can only get them out as far as I can. Make sure, especially when we start getting these cuts and these snips and these other ones out here, these shorts, make sure you forward them. Please. I'm asking that sincerely. I don't ask much from you at all because we're doing this stuff to get you guys the news and try to make it as efficient, effective, and clean and clear as possible all the time. And so thank you for that support. And also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week. I covered it yesterday, the Excellency, one of our top-selling products that we have at healthmasters.com. Be sure to take advantage of that sale over 16% off right now. And we got the updates on the vote going yesterday. I told you guys there was a glitch on that system. And right now on the votes on here, the CoQ10 Ubiquinol is winning by a landslide, surprisingly, because I thought the NAC in the joint rebuilding was going to run pretty good.
58%.
The fit food. I covered the fit food yesterday because I made another vanilla ones. I changed over to vanilla for last week with purple sticks. But the joint rebuilding is another one that's really popular. But the CoQ10, I tell you guys, you vote for what you want to see win, and I run it on there. And be sure to check out the reviews that we're getting on these products. If you're curious about a certain supplement, check out the reviews. Read them. If you do get a product and you like the fact of what you're getting on it, you like the results, please do us a favor and leave us a review on it. I love to see everybody's response and how they get results from these products. So thank you for that support at healthmasters.com. As I will say this definitively, we could not do this or be here without you guys.
Couldn't do it, guys.
Couldn't do it, period. Couldn't run it. Can't cover the cost of this doggone show every year.
This show's expensive. Guys, thank you. And again, we appreciate your support. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. But we have hope in Him. You know, go to church, pray on a regular basis. If you're married, if you've got a spouse, if you've got a girlfriend, pray with them or a boyfriend. Pray with them every single day. It massively increases the ability of your relationship to maintain consistency and continuity. And also remember this, you know, we have to understand that as we get older and start to realize the things that are behind us and the things that we've seen in our lives, that other people haven't had the ability to see that. They don't understand what the Ted and Austin Brewer show is like you do, because you've been watching this thing for almost 3,000 episodes.
That's true.
And so we're trying to bring you the hope of a future and realize that you can walk in divine health all the days of your life, and that God loves you and he wants the best for you. Always remember that. And thanks again for your support, because if it wasn't you guys being here, we simply wouldn't be here.
No, we wouldn't. So keep up the fight, my friends. Stay strong. Stay healthy. Keep feeling good. Stay stocked up on any supplements you need. We're getting everything out, you guys. Even the VIP shipping. Most of the stuff is landing super quick with the expedited. Even next day airs, they're still getting them around the country.
Oh, we may have some ice issues now.
But yeah, but it'll be a couple days. We'll get stuff moving. AliExpress. Appreciate y'all. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.